Professor Norman Cornett is joining us this morning. As I mentioned, Brian Hay was unavailable today, so Dr. Cornett has graciously said he would fill in. He is an educator, a religious study author, an art critic, and just, you know, he seems to be someone who you can talk about many, many issues. Norman, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure to join this Elder Show, and thanks for the invitation.
Okay. All right. If you gauge the climate inside the Democratic Party merely by which candidates won its 2018 primaries, you might think reports of its leftward lurch are exaggerated. But the Democratic Party, in my opinion, which is, you know, may not be agreed on by others, seems to have changed drastically. And the fact that Donald Trump won the election and is getting close now to the 2020 election, he has never had one day where peace reigned. Can you explain to me from your academic background why that is?
Well, to his credit, Donald Trump is a master of the media, Zelda, by which I mean he is the front page news 24/7, 365. Whether people agree or disagree with him, he is the news daily. Headlines. And that itself means that he is monopolizing the attention. And what some Americans refer to as the bleeding liberal, the bleeding heart liberals can cry to the high heavens. The reality is that he thereby monopolizes the discourse. And that is a very important. And when we talk about the current state of the Democratic Party, and you rightly put your finger on the left-leaning, if not the lurch to the left, I'm reminded as an American who lived through that election of George McGovern when the Democratic Party took a hard left. It proved disastrous, Zelda. And right now, the clear and present danger for the Democratic Party is what I call political centrifuge. That is to say, there are a number of vortexes within the Democratic Party, and they could swirl off. And keep in mind that the idea of socialism, including social medicine, is a four-letter word in the United States of America. So when we hear candidates such as Senator Elizabeth Warren, and I do not underestimate her, keeping in mind she's a former professor of law at Harvard University, she is an astute, articulate individual. Or Kamala Harris, who now is sort of backtracking on what she means by medical care for all Americans. When you start taking that hard left, it resonates in such a way that red flags go up. No pun intended, because red as in communism, socialism. Right. That kind of, you know, a house divided cannot stand. We have to come to terms with reality that right now the Democrats are a house divided. And Trump knows this. He has good political instincts. That's why on one hand he'll tell the squad, the four frosh representatives in the young AOC or just Cortez, as Donald Trump calls her, or the other three congresswomen, all, I might say, of visible minorities. He will get on their case for criticizing Nancy Pelosi. And I hasten to point out that Representative Cortez is meeting this Thursday with Nancy Pelosi. This lady she's got to have an iron hand if she's going to keep the Democrats in line. And when there is a hue and a cry to impeach Donald Trump, this could prove, Zelda, political suicide for the Democrats.
Okay, because Norman, they have not stopped since day one. There hasn't been a coming together of the country so that people would say, okay, the election was decided. We have a winner. Now let's get together for the betterment of the country. That has not happened since day one, and it is never going to happen. So what are the Democrats gaining by this?
Well, no, on the contrary, they may lose big time, Zelda, because you're right. They're still prosecuting the last election. And in so doing, by always looking backwards and not forwards, and then coming to terms with the Democratic establishment, particularly the Bill and Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, and I want to be clear here. Barack Obama, when his election proved a watershed in some respects, Zelda. But at the same time, what can the Democratic Party show? What can they put up as actual accomplishments of the last Democratic president? You know, when you raise hopes the way Barack Obama did, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can, and then you don't deliver the goods, you're setting yourself up for a fall. So right now, what's in front of the Democrats is if you raise expectations like Barack Obama and then don't deliver the goods, it's been there, done that, and nobody wants that anymore. To boot, and I know, Zelda,
who would be a Democratic candidate that could pull the Democrats back together and bring them basically to the center? I mean, I don't see anybody in that camp that could do that. And they don't have an agenda, Norman. They're not pushing anything but going further to the left.
Yes. Well, that is why the Democratic Party establishment is putting their eggs in Joe Biden's basket. He's as close as they get to the center, to the moderate, and less so, because she's less known, is Senator Amy Klobuchar. She is trying to hold that middle ground as well, because she is from the Midwest. But Joe Biden is yesterday's news, and he's as old as yesterday's news. And he has this unfortunate habit of foot and mouth disease, and he has to correct himself and then qualify what he states. And one of the reasons Donald Trump got elected, Zelda, is because he was a new face in old establishment politics. And Joe Biden isn't that person. I also want to point out, when we talk about delivering the goods, there is a lot of dissension. And honestly, the polarization of American politics right now, almost to the point of, I could refer to it as bipolar. This is part of the dilemma that the Democratic Party has to solve, because right now there is no unifying candidate, and I'm in contact regularly with my colleagues in the United States, all the more so because I myself am an American from Texas, and there is a real concern that the Democrats can get their act together. Also, when I talk about the legacy of Barack Obama, raising expectations, you know, you have a rightfully concern, Zelda, about what's happening right now in Iran and in the Middle East. In fact, I refer from the Mediterranean to Afghanistan as the fault line of geopolitics. And what happened with Barack Obama in his second term? He drew a red line in Syria. Syria was that close to getting rid of its dictatorship and bringing in democracy. Well, at the end of his second term, Barack Obama's own generals and admirals and diplomats wrote a public letter that you did not act, you did not respect that red line, and you have left a vacuum in Syria. And guess what, Zelda? The Russians have filled it, and the Russians will not retreat. Now, for the first time in the history of Russia, they have a naval port on the Mediterranean in Tartus, and they will never give it up. This has been for millennia the dream of the Russians to have a port on the Mediterranean. Now they have boots on the ground, and so Russia came in and filled that vacuum. This is the appeal of Donald Trump, that when he says he's going to do something, he delivers the goods. But, and that's okay, why the Democrats have got to come up with
similar. But the point is, they don't have any platform. The only platform they have is to get rid of Donald Trump. They have nothing to offer the people who are working every day. Trump has given, his unemployment is down, people are making a living. There are all kinds of things that he has accomplished. I would have thought that the Democrats would, you know, say, look what he's done. We can do better. We can do this. They keep pushing to the left. The immigration policy is defeating them day by day. Now, you've got candidates like Bill de Blasio, Cory Booker. I mean, these are very scary people in my estimation, maybe not in others. So who's the candidate that they can truly say is the future of America?
They don't know, and not yet. That's now, in the last Democratic primary debates, we both know, Zelda, that Kamala Harris came out on top and Elizabeth Warren came on top. And I want to be honest here. Will Americans elect a woman in the White House? I'm still not sure that the USA is prepared for that. That remains to be seen. Secondly, keep in mind, he had 8 years, Barack Obama, to take care of the working class needs, to take care of what used to be called the Rust Belt, take care of the Midwest, and he didn't. So there is a sense of battle fatigue with the Democrats, that they have these dreams, they have these visions, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the talk. And right now, who do we see? It may take somebody very, and that's a unique combination, Zelda, somebody who is at the same time charismatic and pragmatic.
Who is that? There is nobody that I can see. The only thing I feel and see is that it's a fight against a personal person. They have not acknowledged anything that he has done for America. They're not concerned with Iran and their neighbors. I just don't know what happened to the Democratic Party of Truman and Kennedy. It just seems to have been obliterated.
Well, and that's interesting you bring this up. You might recall that a vice presidential candidate, Joe Lieberman, that he at one point seemed to represent the future of the Democratic Party as very much in the center and having its act together and pragmatic, but yet at the same time with a vision for American society. That clearly is no longer the case. Really, what has happened is the fractalization of the Democratic Party. We don't know anymore, Zelda, who's in charge, who's at the helm. And what may occur in these ongoing Democratic debates is that we will see a fratricidal, because sooner or later, now Biden Elizabeth Warren and her good friend and fellow senator, Bernie Sanders, are going to go toe-to-toe. And they're going to have to attack each other and their program. This may all serve to convince the American public that these people are speaking out of both sides of their mouth. And I want to address the issue of Iran that you're pointing to.
Well, that's the biggest problem right now that's facing Israel and America. And it seems to me that the Democratic millennials have no concept of what could affect them in the present and the future. And that's the scary part. You just see a bunch of people running around trying to bring down Donald Trump with no concern about the future.
Well, let's talk about Iran and the Democratic Party. What brought down Jimmy Carter, the Democratic president, who himself is a military man? He is a graduate of the Annapolis Academy and a trained nuclear submarine engineer. Because of the mistakes he made in Iran, he lost to Ronald Reagan. And I say this as an American who at the time of the hostage crisis was studying in Dallas, Texas. Let me tell you, Zelda, for my generation and those who lived through the hostage crisis in Tehran, in Iran, the humiliation of the United States of America by a Middle Eastern country that most Americans didn't even know, this remains seared in the American consciousness. And Donald Trump will have to rise to the occasion in Iran, because you cannot let that happen again. If that happens, if Iran brings the United States and Great Britain, they've got one of their tankers now, if they bring the Western powers to their knees, there will be a political price to pay.
Okay, well, Norman, the only country in that region that has the guts to take on Iran, and it scares me to death, is my beloved Israel, because they are the most threatened in that region. And it seems to me now that we're almost coming to a head with Iran, and unless the U.S. and Israel and others show Iran they cannot do what they've done, I don't know what's going to happen. And it is very scary.
Well, there's realpolitik at play here. When we look at the straits that essentially Iran controls, where much of the world's oil comes from, on one hand, we can ask ourselves, Zelda, quite frankly, the current behavior of Iran is alienating even those who were prepared to live with the current situation with Iranian development of uranium. But now, by tackling the British and threatening the Western powers and the supply lines, Iran may overplay its hand. And that could prove a pivotal point. We do know that the military brass in the current U.S. administration is watching this with a hawk eye, but at the same time, extremely conscious that the United States is still engaged in the longest war of its history, namely 16 years and counting in Afghanistan, to say nothing of Iraq, where we now know that the Islamic State, they're flowing in. There is a continuing movement from Syria into Iraq. So the military commanders are very concerned about engaging further. But at the same time, look at the behavior of Kim Jong-un. Is his behavior, where he seems to jerk the U.S. around, is maybe Iran sees this as a way that they can get more out of West in general.
All right, so you brought up North Korea. Now, I mean, you know, Trump has seen him and talked to him and whether he's gotten anything out of him. But is he with Iran? I mean, if Iran pulls the string on North Korea, they're going to go over to Iran, are they not? They're not going to side with the U.S.?
Well, this is a game of brinkmanship. It's a game of chicken. Zelda, how far can you push the U.S., push the Western powers to get what you want out of them? And the common denominator, of course, Zelda, between North Korea and Iran is the question of sanctions, economically strangling those regimes, delimiting, circumscribing them, hemming them in, imprisoning them in quote-unquote failing economies that are not sustainable from an economic perspective.
But they don't care. They don't seem to care at all about their people.
I'm not saying that they do care, but that this is, when I say realpolitik, this is a matter of how much can we get out of this situation. If we play our cards right, if we maximize these current tensions and these tenuous circumstances, what could we get out of them at the negotiating table in the case of Iran or in the case of North Korea? So when we get back to American politics and the Democrats, and because of the Iran hostage crisis, in this respect, Zelda, Donald Trump must once again deliver the goods. That is the bottom line.
Okay, we're almost at the end of this talk that we're having. We have a couple of minutes left. Now, Iran has taken over the ship in that region. He is accusing people of espionage, whatever you want. What's going to happen? Are these going to, how are we going to play that? And how are we going to win that episode?
Well, we can see how Iran is taking advantage of the current situation in Great Britain. Great Britain itself is in a crisis with Brexit. Their Prime Minister, Theresa May, is outgoing. They've got a leadership vote to come. And so they have really, you know, they're very opportunistic in this sense. And when you see division, and I want to get back to Russia, this is all serving the global interest of Russia. They see themselves as the broker. They're the ones who can, in the Middle East now, by virtue of their presence in Syria, by virtue of their relationship with Iran, they see themselves as power brokers in this situation. So this brings Trump into a very tight situation with his advisor, John Bolton, who is unequivocal in when it comes to Iran. On one hand, he's got to listen to Bolton, who he appointed, but on the other hand, he's got to listen to the boots on the ground military common sense of his generals and of his admirals. And how this plays out may prove key to the future of Donald Trump.
Norman, I appreciate how you have put this all out and where the buck falls. And that's what we're going to be watching and looking at, because we're just where everything could blow up or everything could be brought together. And as you said, Russia could be the key. Norman Cornett, thank you so much for our discussion.
It's always my privilege,
Zelda. We'll talk to you again. You have a wonderful day. Norman Cornett. Take care.
Bye-bye, Zelda.
Bye.